My name is Simone Bouye, and I am listed in every issue of Thing magazine as graphic services. And so I provided exactly that, like help with the layout and production, with creating halftone screens for photos, with advising Robert on how to use Quark Express, because that's what we were using back then. So we'd use an X-Acto knife, which is a super sharp knife, to cut out all of the images and text, and then we'd glue those to a sheet or board. And then we would take that sheet or board to either a Xerox place like Kinko's or to the printer, who would then turn that into the magazine.
And you had to do this for like every
For
issue?
yes, for every page, for every item on the page, for every issue.
And we talked about this a lot in the past, Simone. And by the way, my name is Ken Hare, and I was involved in the creative aspect of it. I was like a creative editor at large, and sometimes you'll see my name in a magazine, sometimes you won't. I really didn't care. I was just really, really excited to be a part of this creative collective.
A thing is described by Robert Ford as a person of incorrigible and unbearable fabulousness. And so Thing magazine was totally dedicated to showcasing Black gay culture and all of the people and creators committed to creativity. Showcasing them and their ideas and sharing all of that with the rest of the world. So I want to ask you, Ken, how would Trenton greet you if he were to say, can you do an imitation of Trenton greeting you saying, hey, Miss Thing?
Trenton had this bravado to his voice that would, you could hear, you knew when he came into the room, because there was such this bravadoness to his voice, and he would be like, "Hey, Miss Thing," and he would throw his hand back, and it would, the palm of his hand would be face, forward facing, and it would over his shoulder, over his right shoulder or left shoulder, "Hey, Miss Thing," and you would, "Hey, Miss Thing," back. But to answer the question, what was Thing Magazine? Thing Magazine was a platform before platform was a word. And it was a place where all these disparate aspects of society could come and gather, whether you were straight, gay, transgender, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, disabled, or whatever the case may be. It was a place where all of these people could come and not only be welcome, but to be encouraged to share their art, to share their poetry, to share their philosophy of, how can we make this world a better place?
There were just 10 issues produced, and it was the most creative publication I've ever seen. It's funny to even call it a zine. It started out as a zine, and it actually turned into more of a magazine. We started at 12 pages, tabloid size, folded in half, and it grew to like 40 pages. 60 pages, printed traditionally, with lots of color and still on newsprint, but it was this amazing thing that hadn't existed anywhere at all before.
And you also have to keep in mind that there was no format that we followed. So the look and feel of the zine was very different from issue to issue. You just never knew what you were going to get. But when you got it, you knew it was going to be very, very hot and very interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was no topic that was too bold or too hot or anything for them to approach. I mean, they were fearless. We're talking about Trenton Adkins Robert Ford and Larry Warren, the three people that really powered Thing magazine, they would interview anyone. They would go out to parties. They'd photograph people. They'd put together these creative spreads. They'd talk to other writers in the community. They'd share their stories. I mean, the list went on and on and on. There was never any censorship. There were no guidelines. There was nothing that you couldn't say, "Hey, I did this thing. Would you be interested in it?" And the answer would always be yes. Let's do that. Let's put that in thing.
There was no other zine or magazine, mainstream magazine, or any other underground magazine that was as comprehensive in telling the story about the things that were going on in the Black gay community and the creative arts community in Chicago in general.
Every issue, like Ken's saying, was distinctive and original and amazing. The very first issue actually featured a mezzotint of a painting that I did of Ken Hare. And that was just a black and white Xerox thing. By the fourth issue, we had moved into color, and that issue being the very first color issue, we were thinking, well, we had this black and white image of a model, and they wanted the entire background to be red. So in those days, you couldn't just click the mouse and make it red. I actually had to spend time and precisely cut what is known as Rubylith film to outline the model's head, and that area would be printed red by the printer.
And what was it like to work with the editors of Thing, Robert Ford, Trent Atkins, and Lawrence Warren? How would you describe their personalities and working styles? Good question.
Well, for me, Robert, well, he was an amazing, he had a huge music collection, the biggest collection of albums and CDs I had ever seen. It was like one entire wall of his loft apartment. He worked at a record store. He knew all the record labels, musicians, producers, all of those kind of folks. On the surface, Robert was very quiet and subdued, but he was also extremely intelligent. If you started talking about music, then you were speaking his language. He was also a DJ, and he was always around in the scene, observing, talking to people, finding out what was going on. Trent Atkins was just a great people connector. Like he knew and talked to everyone, no matter who they were, no matter what field they were in. He wanted to know more about them. He wanted to experience what it was to, I don't know, live as large as he could. Lawrence Warren was kind of like our poet writer in residence. I mean, this guy was so well read, he could quote just off the cuff hundreds of authors. Just an amazing guy. And then together, they were just like this dynamo of, they would ricochet ideas off of each other. And I think this is how the lists that are in every issue of Thing magazine got created, because one person would say one thing, and then someone else would say something to add to that. And before you know it, they had this long list on any theme. You could pick any theme at all.
It was like an it's something that you would want everybody to experience at least once in their lifetime, the amount of creativity and the brotherhood that was shared amongst each other. And it didn't matter what your background was, your level of education, your economic status. Once you got around those guys, you felt like a human being.
And I think it's because this was a black gay magazine, and there just wasn't anything at all like that in Chicago. We had gay magazines, but we didn't see ourselves reflected in those. We had art magazines, but you didn't really see ourselves in those either. So suddenly, here was this medium that showed us in all of our varied ways and means and communities, and we hadn't seen that ever before. I mean, we knew we had an inkling maybe that we were out there, but it's not until you actually see that you're not the only one, that there are other people out there like you. And this wasn't impactful for just Chicago. This was impactful all over the United States. I think the interest in Thing magazine is that people who are marginalized and aren't generally seen or heard do have stories to tell that are of interest to everyone, not just other marginalized people.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that and spot on, Simone, because a lot of the material and content that we covered back in the late 80s, going into the early 90s, a lot of those issues are right back front and center today on in today's news cycle. And it's as though if Robert Trenton and Larry resurfaced, miraculously resurfaced, they wouldn't be too surprised to see that the discrimination and the censoring that's going on now, it's mirrored the exact same thing that was going on 35 years ago. They would be honored, and they are honored to have their work take on a new form and to be a source of inspiration for a new generation.
Thing Zine ran for nearly 4 years, from November 1989 to the summer of 1993, producing a total of 10 issues. We ceased publishing due to Robert's declining health. A year after the final issue, Robert T. Ford unfortunately passed away from HIV/AIDS. Trent Atkins passed away in 2007, also from HIV/AIDS. And Lawrence Larry Warren passed in December 2016 due to diabetic complications. However, the legacy of Thing lives on through commemorative issues periodically published by Simone Bouyer, Stephanie Coleman, and myself, Ken Hare, and exhibitions like the one here at the Museum of Contemporary Art. For more information, please visit houseofthing.com.